15 minutes of prayer went very, very quick this morning. I don't know about you, but I looked at my watch. Oh, 15 minutes already. I thought it was about 5 minutes, and 15 minutes had gone by. And it was a blessing to see you guys here and praying with us this morning. And we'll be here next Sunday morning again from 9:30 to 9:45. If you'd like to come and join us for prayer before the service, just asking God to meet with us, to give us these moments in time that change our lives because he is present. We want to see things happening that we look at these things and say, that's God. We couldn't have done that by ourselves. That's God. And so we appreciate you coming and spending this time of prayer with us. Okay, I guess whoever is leaving has left and leaves the rest of us. Going to look at today two verses from 1 Samuel chapter 16. We're going to look at verse 7, and then we're going to look at verse 13. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, and then verse 13. Here's what that says. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the flask of olive oil he had brought and anointed David with the oil, and the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. Pastor Nick, would you just say a prayer for me before I start preaching?
Sure. Father, we just humbly come before your throne, knowing that that's where we'll find the power, the strength, the help in times of need. Lord, we ask your blessing, your anointing on Pastor Jerry today as he speaks for you. Give him clarity of mind and just a reassurance by your Spirit that he's moving in your power and your will. Yes. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Bob. Today we look at another new beginning. And today we're going to look at a new king. A new king. And I start with Samuel. Because at a time when a woman actually named her child Ichabod, which means the glory is gone, the glory of the Lord has departed, the Spirit of the Lord has departed. She named the child that because that was what was going on in the religious realm of Israel at that time. And while that is happening, God raises up Samuel. And while the other ministers are learning to be more immoral and more greedy, Samuel is learning to hear the voice of God. Saul had been anointed as king, but God was very upset with Saul because Saul did not obey God. And so Samuel was instructed by the Lord to go down to Bethlehem to find a man by the name of Jesse. And Jesse had several sons, and he said, "You're going to anoint one of Jesse's sons to be the new king." And so Samuel obeys the Lord, goes down to Bethlehem, finds Jesse. Jesse, of course, brings his firstborn, his eldest son, before the Lord first. And as soon as Samuel sees him, he says, "This has got to be the one." You look at him. He's tall, he's dark, he's handsome, he's probably strong and well-built. I just have one of those characteristics, I think. But the Lord says to Samuel, "Samuel, haven't you learned anything yet? Do you remember you anointed Saul, who is also tall and handsome? That didn't work out too well, right? Right, Samuel? What are you doing?" And then he says this to him. He says, "People judge by outward appearance, But the Lord looks at the heart. And after Jesse presents seven of his sons to Samuel, Samuel says, you got any more kids? Because I got to tell you, none of these are the ones that God is looking for and that God has chosen. And Jesse says, well, I have one more son. He's my youngest, but certainly you wouldn't be interested in him. He's just a shepherd boy. Matter of fact, he's out in the fields right now tending to sheep, say goats. And Samuel says, go get him. Go get him now. And nobody move until he gets here. So Jesse sends for his son, David. And David comes back. And as soon as Samuel sees David, God speaks to Samuel's heart. And he says, that's the one, anointed. And so we read that as David stood among his brothers, Samuel took this oil that he had brought with him, and he anoints David with the oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. And the glory of the Lord was about to return with this new king. He knew, God knew David's heart and chose him to be a new king. And this changed everything, because this was in preparation for the King of Kings. You can read it in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, that Jesus would be a descendant of David. And so, indeed, as God had promised, there would always be a descendant of David on the throne. Jesus, our King. And if you need a new beginning, you need a new king. Samuel had told Saul, and it's in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14, that the Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. God is seeking people after his own heart. People like David. We read in Acts chapter 13, verse 22. But God removed Saul, because of his disobedience, and replaced him with David, a man whom God said, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. Let's talk about the heart for a second, because what do we learn from these verses about the heart? First thing that we learn is that God knows it. God knows the heart. We know only what we see of people, but God knows what they are. We look at and we're impressed by the outward appearance and the outward performance and achievements. But God looks at the heart. He sees the thoughts and the intent and the desires and the motives of the heart. So one thing about the heart is that God sees it. Another thing about the heart is God judges by it. Holiness and goodness of the heart is what God looks for in us. It's what recommends us to God. It is the heart that's precious in His sight. It's the beauty from within that God is concerned about, that Peter talked about when he said, you should clothe yourselves with the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty that comes from within. So God knew David's heart, chose him to be king, and imparts to him the Spirit of the Lord in a very powerful way. Because this was not an empty anointing. This wasn't just an empty ceremony. There was a divine power that went along with the pouring on of this oil. It wasn't just a ceremony of pouring on the oil. But in actuality, there was a power, a Holy Spirit was poured out upon him. God knew David, and David knew God. And we see that, not only in these scriptures, but there's other places that we see that. The most famous story about David, I guess, is David and Goliath. And listen again to what David says as he stands up to this giant. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45. He says to him, "You come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you." Now listen, this is someone who knows God. "I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you defiled." Or defied. So now you know the story. For about 40 days, this Philistine, his name is Goliath, he's a giant of a man, he's been taunting the Israelites. And he says to them, "Look, there's no need for our armies to fight. I'll tell you what we do. You send out your best warrior to fight me. And if he could kill me, we will be your slaves. The Philistines will be your slaves. But if I kill him, you will be our slaves." And the Israelites were scared to death. And they're losing all hope. Now, David's not there at this time, but his father tells him, "Look, I want you to go so that you could bring some food and that you could tell me how, see if your brothers are all right, see how they're doing." So David goes there, and when he goes there, Goliath comes out and goes through his normal routine of bringing this challenge and taunting. And David says, who does he think he is? And why are you people running from him and afraid of him? We belong to the living God. What are you doing?" And his brothers sarcastically say, "Well, why don't you go take care of your little sheep and goats?" But David goes to Saul and he says, "I'll fight the giant." And Saul says, don't be ridiculous. You're a kid. You're inexperienced. This Goliath, he's been a warrior. He grew up being a warrior. He's been a warrior since before you were born." David says, "Let me tell you something. I take care of my father's sheep and goats. I'm a shepherd. What do you think happens when a lion or a bear comes to harm one of those sheep? Who do you think protects them? I do. I fight those animals. And I'm able to because of God. God rescued me from those animals, and God's going to rescue me from this animal of a man. Don't tell me I can't do it. I know the living God." So Saul says to him, "Well, okay, here, take my armor." And he gives David all this armor. And David puts it on, and he tries to walk around. He can't even walk in it. It's so heavy, he can't even walk around. He said, this isn't me. This isn't me. And he takes off that armor. And with a sling and a few smooth stones and all the confidence in God, David goes to fight Goliath. You see, not only did David know God, but David knew himself. He says, this armor might be good for you, but I'm not going to be forced to do something that you think I should do. I've got to do things the way God has created me. If you want to be healthy, both emotionally and spiritually, know yourself and know God. Know your limitations. Know who you are in Christ. Know who God created you to be, and be that person. Not who you think other people want you to be, but be who you think, who you know God wants you to be. Know yourself. And have confidence in God. Know God. And you will be healthy. Healthy emotionally and spiritually. Healthy. Talk about needing a new beginning. You want a new beginning? Know yourself and know God. Now, why did David have such a close relationship with God? Why did he know God so well? I think that there's a clue in Psalm 119, verse 164. You know that David wrote most of the Psalms, right? Well, here's what it says in Psalm 119, 164. He says, I will praise you, speaking to the Lord, I will praise you 7 times a day. How did David know God? How do you get to know anybody? You spend time with him. Quality time with them. David says, 7 times a day, he would pause 7 times out of his day to be with God, to praise God. Now, in Scripture, that number 7 is usually symbolizes perfection, or maybe a better way to say it is that it symbolizes sacred fullness. And so perhaps what David is saying here, and I think you'll see it in the Amplified Bible, so let's look at this verse from the Amplified Bible. It says, 7 times a day and all day long I praise you. And I think what David is saying is that because I take time out of my day to be alone with you, I sense your presence all day long and I can praise you all day long. Do you want a new beginning? Do you want to know yourself and know God? Do you want Jesus to be the King in your life? Because I got to tell you, we say that we know Jesus, and then we neglect being with him. We serve Jesus, we do things for Jesus, but we're not necessarily with Jesus. If you want to have a new beginning, every day, and more than once a day, stop, center on God, and praise him. Just be with God. Follow the example of God. It starts right in the book of Genesis. God worked, and then God rested. And God says, that's who I created you to be. Be the same way that God is. Work and rest. We all need at least one day for a Sabbath rest. And I got to tell you, there's so many Christians that are not even doing that. They're not even taking a day, a 24-hour period, for a Sabbath rest. You know, it's one of the 10 Commandments. We think that all the commandments are important. We need to keep them except for that one. It's a very serious thing. Because if you look at those commandments, it looks to me like God had more to say about that commandment than he said about the other 9. Why? He loves you. He knows what's best for you. And he says, like me, you need to take a day, a 24-hour period, and you need to have a day of rest. But every day, throughout the day, we should take time away from work for worship. We need to have work and rest throughout the day. So let's just look at this for a second. I think the first thing that we need to do is we need to stop. Stop. David stopped 7 times a day. Now maybe you can't stop 7 times a day. Can you stop 3 times a day? Maybe in the morning, maybe midday, maybe in the evening. I think that's what Daniel did. Okay, maybe you can't stop 3 times a day. Can you stop twice a day? Can you stop once a day? Actually, the number of times you stop is not what's important. What's important is that you stop to be with God. It's important. And by the way, don't worry about taking time out of your hectic day. You've got so many things to do. Don't worry about taking time out to be with God. I can assure you that God can run this world without you. I know that for a fact. So just stop. Take time to stop. Second, when you stop, center on God. Be still and know God's presence and rest in that presence. You know, that verse, be still and know that I am God. The context of that verse is that God wants us to remember that He is our refuge and strength. He tells us in that in those verses that even when storms come, be still and center on God. So, you know, centering means like, you know, get rid of all the tensions and all of the distractions and all of and anything else. And just be with God. You don't have to do anything. This is not a time to pray for all kinds of requests. Just be with God. I've been doing this and I'm telling you, it'll make a tremendous difference in your life. Stop and then center on God. Don't be in a hurry. Don't just do it to do it. Now I got to do this and get out of here. Take your time. If you're reading something, read it slowly. Let it sink in. Let it get deep into your heart. But center on God. Be quiet. Can you take 2 minutes and just be quiet for 2 minutes in God's presence? That's the next thing. The next thing is to be silent. Silence is very uncomfortable. As a matter of fact, I read that there was a study done and that the average group cannot bear to be silent for more than 15 seconds. That says something about our culture, doesn't it? We're so used to noise. We're so used to activity. We're so used to feeling guilty if I'm not busy. Quiet yourself, both your inner voices and the outer voices. Just quiet yourself and be in silence with God. You know that God speaks in the silence? You read that, I think it was, wasn't it Elijah, that where the Lord spoke to him in a quiet voice, in a still, quiet voice. I mean, you know, it's so hard to really translate that verse because what it's really saying is that the silence spoke. How does silence speak? But it does. When you're alone with God, you're silent with God, God will speak to you. So quiet yourself. Henry Nouwen said this, "Without solitude, it is almost impossible to live a spiritual life." Without this quiet, silent solitude with God, it's impossible to live a spiritual life. And I think it was Jim Cimbala, I'm not sure, but I think it was Jim Cimbala that said, you cannot be a New Testament Christian without a prayer life. Now, getting alone with God. The next thing about this time with God is Scripture. Maybe you want to read some Scripture during that time. Maybe read from the Psalms or a portion of the Psalms. Maybe you want to read from a devotional book. Whatever you read, whatever you do, again, slowly, taking it in, thinking deeply about it, let it deeply get into your heart. What is God saying to you? Maybe you want to incorporate some worship music. Or maybe you want to go someplace where you could just enjoy the creation of God and kind of take in the creation of God. Just be careful not to drift. Just stay, practice staying in the presence of God. And praising Him. The rule of thumb is, if something works for you, then use it. And if it doesn't, then don't. And then finally is prayer. End these times with God with prayer. Pray that about the things that God brought to your mind as you met with Him. The reason for this solitude is to surrender to God in trust. So pray that surrender to Him as you close the time. And look, I'm not trying to ask you to add another thing to your to-do list. I don't want you to feel guilty if a day you miss or a session, you miss a session of this prayer, of this quiet time. Don't just do it to do it, but be mindful of God's presence. Get in the rhythm of doing these times with God, of stopping to be with God throughout the day, and the presence of God will go with you all day long. And you'll praise Him all day long. I don't know what it is, but once again, I read an illustration this week that I'm almost positive that Pastor Art Alexander, who is now a district superintendent, that I heard him use this illustration in a sermon many, 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 many years ago. And I think it applies here very well. Pastor Art grew up on a farm in Michigan. And in the Midwest, they have these blizzards that could come on suddenly. And they're very dangerous blizzards. And they're so bad that the whiteout, you know, you've heard of the term whiteout, that you can't even see your hand in front of your face. And so what the farmers do in that area is that they'll tie a rope from the from their back door to their barn, so that if these blizzards suddenly come upon them, they could grab a hold of this rope and they could follow it to get back to their house. Because many farmers have actually frozen to death, just disoriented by the inability to see by these blizzards. And if you lose your grip of that rope, it's impossible to find your way home. And farmers have wandered in circles and were lost in their own backyards. Some froze within feet of their door, not realizing how close they were to safety. And many Christians have lost their way. They have lost their way spiritually in the blizzard of noise and the things of activities and things of this that's all around us in this world. And then you add to that the storms of life that come upon us unexpectedly. And we wonder why we get so disoriented. We need a rope to lead us back home. We need a rope to lead us back home. And God offers you that rope to lead us back to Him through these times of solitude, of just taking time to be quiet with God. Set your lives towards a new king, or reset your lives to the King of Kings. It's time for new beginnings. Solitude, not because I have to, but because I want to, is the thing that will bring us back home. Let's pray together. As always, we ask you to just take a few moments in silence, to be in God's presence, to allow Him to speak to you, and then I'll close my prayer. Thank you. If you would please stand with me, I'll close our time in prayer. I don't know if that was 15 seconds of silence, but did you feel uncomfortable? I was thinking again of Martha and Mary, right? You know, Martha was so busy doing for Jesus, and then she missed Jesus. She was doing, but not being with Jesus. Mary, on the other hand, spent time at the feet of Jesus. She centered on Christ. And I think that if she would have went to help her sister, it wouldn't have been with being so worried and upset about so many things. Because she would have had some inner peace because she had been with Jesus. So take the time to be with the Lord. Let me pray for you. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for meeting with us. Thank you for speaking with us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for changing us. Lord, we've made some decisions today, perhaps. I pray, God, for your grace, for strength. Lord, that we would follow through on these promises that we've made, on these vows that we've made. Lord, we want to know you better. We want to be touched by your Spirit. We want to spend time praising you that it might overflow into our daily lives with peace and praising you all day long. Lord, I pray that your word, you called it the seed, a seed that we planted in rich soil. You said that seed is your word. Lord, I pray that we would take in your word. And whether it's reading your word or whether it's quiet time when you speak to us, that too is your word. And as we hear that, and as we take in that seed of your word, seed brings new life. There'll be new beginnings, Lord, as we hear you, and as we take it into our hearts. So I pray, Lord, that you would give us times, help us to see how we can take time throughout our day to stop from the work, to rest, and to just be with you. Lord, I pray your supernatural blessing and grace and power and love would fill each one that is present today and the families that they represent. And Lord, you would just bless them this week. In Jesus, we ask these things in your name. Amen. Lord bless you. Have a great week.